Seek and you shall find. I remember the first time I read that scripture, I was about 16 when I started reading the scriptures, and I come across that one, and I thought, well, that sounds like a pretty good deal. I'm just going to ask God all kinds of questions. So I asked him a bunch of questions, and nothing seemed to happen. I thought, well, what's the deal here? I mean, is the scriptures right or not? And so I just kind of put that on the shelf, and then I read this parable that kind of answered the question for me. It was I can't remember the name of the parable, but this gal had a late night guest in the parable, and she was out of bread. And so she went to the next door neighbor, pounded on the door to try to get him to loan her some bread. Well, he was asleep, and so when she woke him up, he was very agitated. And he says, what do you want? He says, I have some guests arriving. I need some bread. Could you please let me have a loaf of bread? And he says, go away. He says, I'm tired. I'm sleepy. Now get out of here. And she kept banging on the door and insisting, I need to have a loaf of bread. And he kept trying to chase her off. And finally, he saw that she wasn't going anywhere. So he says, not because he liked her, not because he wanted to do any good deed, but just because she was persistent and it was the only way to get rid of her, he came down and gave her a loaf of bread. And then Jesus says, even so, ask and you shall receive. And I thought, aha. That's what I've been doing wrong. I mean, he says you've got to be persistent, in other words, and just don't ask once, but keep asking, and eventually you shall receive. So I'm going to pester God. I'm going to pester him until I get answers.
Like a child?
Yeah, right. And so I started pestering God. And I found an answer to just about every question I've ever had. But some of them took 20 years of pestering. So you don't always get the answer right away. But I found if you don't give up, if you keep seeking, if you keep bugging God, not because he thinks you're a nice guy, not because he really wants to give you the answer, but because you just aren't giving up and you aren't going away, he's going to come down. Okay, looks like JJ's not going away, so I'll give him something to keep him happy. So, anyway, I found that scripture to be very, very helpful. It reinvigorated my search when I discovered that parable that Jesus gave. And I found over... how old am I now? 67. That over the years that has been very useful, and I've kept that in mind very often. So, in other words, what happens if you want to establish soul contact? If you've never had a true spiritual experience, number one, seek for the experience, seek for extra contact, seek to know that there's something beyond the physical. Don't seek everything at once. Just seek, first of all, to have some type of contact or maybe have a burning question that you really want the answer to. That's one of the best ways to make the breakthrough. Have a question that you have a burning desire to know the answer, and then ask. Ask every day. Now, what happens when you ask is it's like throwing energy into a system. You throw more energy into it, more energy. It's a little bit like winding up the propeller on one of those rubber band airplanes. And you wind it up, and then pretty soon you reach the point of tension. When you reach the point of tension, then you can actually let go and the plane will fly. You may ask, and you may ask, and it's like winding up the rubber band. And first of all, it's not tight, and if you let go, the plane won't fly. But sooner or later, you add tension, and then pretty soon you reach the point of tension. When you reach the point of tension, then soul contact becomes possible. And what's funny about it is when it happens is almost always when you're not expecting it or not seeking it. It's like when the plane flies isn't when you're winding up the propeller. When does the plane fly? You let go. So you'll be asking and asking and asking, nothing happens. Then you sigh and you just almost give up and quit asking. You're driving down the road in the car singing a song, and then all of a sudden, bong, something hits you. And you think, wow, I wasn't expecting that. And it came just at that instance, when you weren't even thinking about it. That's almost always when it often happens.
And that soul contact?
That comes through. That's part of soul contact, yeah. Soul contact makes that possible.
Yeah. It happens on a lot of different levels, too. There's a lot of, well, I'll just use women, who are looking for a husband, and as long as you're looking, you never find them. But as soon as you let go of that, it seems like they just appear.
Yeah.
Or women who are trying to have children, who try, when they finally go, you know what, forget it, I think I'll just adopt, they end up pregnant.
There's a lot of truth to that, because, say, it's anything that you're searching for. When you search and put attention on something, you also put energy, because energy follows thought. And energy just doesn't go into nowhere. Energy goes somewhere. And so if you put concentrated energy, like, say, on finding the guy, you won't find him normally when you're putting the energy there, but when you let go, just like you let go of the propeller, and then it flies. So you look and you look and you look. I didn't find Artie when I was looking for her, and I didn't find any of my other relationships when I was looking. I found them when I wasn't looking. But I did a lot of looking in between. Put a lot of energy into it. When I was young, I dreamt my greatest dream was to find my one and only that could really understand me and love me for who I was, type of thing, you know. So I thought I put a lot of energy into it throughout my life. And when it happened, it was at a time that I wasn't expecting it. So you just never know. But you can accumulate anything you want. Now you can apply this to getting money. If you want to get rich, you won't get rich by not thinking about it. You have to put thought into it, figure out how to do it, figure out how you're going to process this, how you're going to achieve it, the work that you're going to do, and make it practical. And then if you want to get a new home or a new car or make substantial money, you have to put thought in that direction. And one of the big problems the disciples have is they divert their thought, so it's divided. It's like the old story, you take one stick, you can break it easy, but if you put a bunch of sticks together, you can't break them, you know. And if your thought is concentrated, it can't be broken. It can be extremely powerful. And the great part about us, we all have the same potential with thought. The only difference in us is some people concentrate our thought more on one avenue than other avenues. Now, what we are, all of us in this room, are a result of all the thought we've ever had in our history. Not only the history of this life, but all of our lives. So what you are right now is a result of all of your thought. Blaine over there, believe it or not, is a result of his thought. So, the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is successful people take their thought and they concentrate it on an area that they want to achieve. The unsuccessful people, maybe they have a dozen things they want to do and they got their thought divided in a dozen different areas, and do they achieve any of them?
No.
And these are people we often call dreamers. Well, that guy's just a dreamer. He's got all these plans and he never does anything. That's because his thought is divided. It isn't because he doesn't have the ability. It's because he hasn't learned the secret of taking his thought and concentrating it. Now, I really understand this because it's been a big problem in my life of dividing my thought too much. I've had two interests in life, succeeding in the material world and succeeding in the spiritual world. And I find that when your thought is divided, it's like Jesus says, you can't serve God and mammon. But if you try to serve both, the reason you can is because it divides your thought. And your thought is only so much. You only have so much thought. Each one of us has the same amount. So if our thought is divided between God and mammon, I want to be a millionaire, but I also want to be a spiritual teacher. Well, the only way to accomplish them both is be a spiritual teacher that charges a lot of money. And then you're not a very spiritual teacher, probably. Jesus was entirely correct when he says you can't serve God and mammon, so you have to either serve one or the other. So if you're on a spiritual quest, it's difficult to be on a spiritual quest if you got a lot of bills to pay and have to put a lot of attention in making money. And this was one of the problems I had in my early life especially. I've always been interested in the spiritual things, and my idea was, well, back in college, I decided, you know, I'm going to create me a business, get that business going, and then it's going to make me all the money I need, then I'm going to concentrate on these other things. Well, I found that it just doesn't work that way. I would get like a business going, and then I'd switch over to the spiritual things, and the business would fall apart completely. Then I'd have to go back and reestablish the business, put all my attention on it, get it going, and then I concentrate on spiritual things, and the business would fall completely apart again. So it's interesting, when you find people that are very successful in business, they're not hardly doing anything spiritually, philosophically, anything. Until, you know, some people are very successful, like Bill Gates is successful enough he could do anything he wants because he's got billions of dollars of resources. But until you reach that point where you got a whole bunch of savings or a business that just runs by itself, you cannot divert your attention away from it or it's going to fall apart. And even Bill Gates is, you know, he's taken a lot of his attention off of his business and it's suffered a lot. Apple's now bigger than Microsoft. Microsoft used to be 20 times bigger than Apple or more. He doesn't have anything to replace Windows. Once things are starting to replace Windows now, and he doesn't have any really great, Microsoft doesn't really have any great ideas anymore to keep the money coming in the way it was, because Bill Gates has taken his attention off of it. He's been doing philanthropy and doing other things, and so the founder doesn't have his attention on it, and it's not doing nearly as good as it used to do. Now, Steve Jobs, up until the time he died, he put a lot of attention on Apple, put all his creative attention there, and he made it very successful.